Today's shir is for Schus for Fu Shleima for Shalom Ben Bracha. Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Nun Beis. We will begin on the Nun Aleph on Beis, two lines from the bottom. B'Kehenes Ahead Redon L'Medon Aseich. We learned in the Mishnah that amongst the obligations of a husband towards his wife is that when the wife, if the wife Chas V'Shalom is kidnapped, the husband has to ransom her. If she's an Eishes Yisrael, when he ransoms her, she goes back to being his wife. If she is an Eishes Kayin, she may, as we discussed at the end of our previous year, they may not go back to being husband and wife. And Hadrina L'Menoseich, the loch is he sends her back home. Okay, and that's how the shir begins today. Kohenes, he writes in the Ksuba, Hadrinach L'Medinoseich, if Chas V'Sholom, you're kidnapped, I will free you and return you to your family, to your home. Amar Abaye, Amona Kohen Gadol. If a Kohen Gadol married an Amona, and we know what our loch is, that a Kohen Gadol may not marry an Amona. Says Abaye, Amona Kohen Gadol, if a Kohen Gadol married an Amona, the loch is Chayev Lev Daisai. He obligated to free ish. And he cared by, because the wording of the ksuba is most appropriate. Kohenes, if you're the wife of a kohen, adrinach lam nerseich, I will bring you home. And that's what he should do, even though he shouldn't have married her. Mamzeres and Nisi Yisrael, but if a Yisrael married a Mamzeres or Nisina, who one may not marry, then in chayav of doisai, he doesn't have an obligation to free her. Shereni karibai, because this is not a situation where the clause of the ksuba, which says v'sivin chlalinto, that I will free you and take you back home, is not applicable, because he can't take her back home, because this is a woman that he's not supposed to be married to. However, Tosfos points out that even though the wording of the ksuba is not appropriate, it teaches us that there's no obligation to free her, because the only reason that one would have to free her is because she is to take her back home. He can't take her back home. But if while they were married, he ate from her wages or etc., so then he has the moral obligation to do what he has to do to free her, because he should, because for all those time that he took her wages or whatever else she brought into the marriage. Rava disagrees. Kol she'isa shvui garim lo chayav ledoisa. The only time one is obligated to free his wife is if the only issue where the eishes kayin is that she unfortunately got kidnapped. But if there's an issa davar acher, if there's a different situation that's preventing them from being able to rejoin as husband and wife, then ein chayav ledoisai, the halacha is, then you don't have to free her. Says the Gemara Lemeka Tanoi. So we have here machloikis, Rava, and Abaya. If our mono kohen gadol, Does the kohen husband have to free ransom her if she was kidnapped? Suggests the Gemara Lemeka Tanoi that this question is a machlokes tanoim. It says in a brisa, Amadas Ishtai, if somebody makes a nether to his wife that she can't have any benefit from here, and if they make that nether so they can't remain married, and nishbis, and then she gets kidnapped, Rabbi Lazaimer Paida. Even though he has to divorce her, he still has to ransom her if she was kidnapped, v'nois l'ksubasa, and pay off the ksuba. V'shua m'nois l'ksubasa, he has to pay out the ksuba, v'ena paida, and you don't have to ransom her. Om Rav Nosson, shalti es simchus. So Rav Nosson says, I asked simchus, k'shev, om Rav Yishua nois l'ksubasa, v'ena paidao. Rav Yishua paskin, that you pay out the ksuba, but you don't redeem her. What was the case that we're speaking about? Was it speaking about a case, Shadira L'Psoif Nishbis, so first she made the nether, and therefore there is no concern that the reason that the reason is not because he wanted to get out of ransoming her, because when he made the nether, she wasn't kidnapped yet. Or even if she was kidnapped and then he made the nether, where we need to be concerned that the reason he made this nether was to be able to get out of his obligation. Vamali, and he said to me, Lo Shamati, I don't know, near in Hadvarim, but he says it seems Shadir Psoif Nishbas, that only in a case where first he made the nether and then she got kidnapped is the case where Rabbi Yeshua says he pays out the ksuba and doesn't have to ransom her. Because the Amrit, says Sumchus, Nishbas Lopsoif of Dira, that if she got kidnapped and then he made this nether, he would not have to ransom her. He could just divorce her and pay out the ksuba. So then ask the Gemara, Asoi Larume. So every husband who wants to get out of the obligation of ransoming his wife will do this. He'll say that he'll make a nether, and then the halach will be he could divorce her. So it doesn't make sense to allow that to be acceptable. My laugh, says the Gemara, when we're speaking about that the husband made this nether that prevents the wife and him to remain married, we're talking about Madir Eshes Koyin Kamufki, even by an Eshes Koyin. And what do we see from here? That Rebbe Lezer holds that since the Koyin is obligated in the Ksuba to free her, ransom her, and send her home, even in this case, the Halacha applies. Rebbe Shua holds that since he can't take her back for a wife, therefore, because he has this nether, he doesn't have to ransom her. So that would be the same machloikas Abaya and Rava. Abaya says that Eshes Koyin, if she's kidnapped, under all circumstances, even if it was a marriage that wasn't allowed to take place, you have to ransom her. And Rava is going to hold like Rabbi Shua. Abaya, Dama Kerbelezer, that a husband, a Koyin, always must ransom his wife, even if it's a wife to whom he was not allowed to be married. Rav Amakar Bishua that says that the Kohen doesn't have to ransom his wife when there's another issue preventing them from being married. Says the Gemara Loi. We don't have to connect these two machloikas. Rather, the case of the machloikas of Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua, Hok Maiskinen, Kikon Shinodra Ihi Vikaim Lahu. She initiated the nether, but we know the Torah says that if the husband authorizes the nether, the halacha is that the nether is considered a valid nether. Now the question is, since she made the nether, but he's the one that authorized it, who is the one that's considered that having made the nether? Rabbi Lezer Sover, who knows Natsun Ben Shinah? He's the one that made the nether into nether. By him being Mekayim the nether, that makes the nether into the nether. Rabbi Yeshua Soiver, he nosnates the Ben Shinah, she's the one, because she's the one that initiated the nether. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that now we're going to go back and explain that the machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua is talking about an Eshes Koyin. And the question is, because she's the one that made the nether, as we just discussed, and he authorized it, who is the one that's considered the made the nether? But there are other Rishonim that explain that the Machlokes applies both to an Eshes Koyin and an Eshes Yisrael. Says the Gemara, in he nosna etzvei Chanel, if she's the one that initiated the nether, and we're saying that since she's the one that made the nether, so why ksuba mayavidite? Why is there a discussion? Does she get the ksuba? Does she not get the ksuba? As the Rishonim explain, a woman who makes such a nether that prevents her to remain with her husband is considered a meredes, and a meredes is not entitled to a ksuba. We learned that after we learned the machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua, the Gemara says Rabbi Nosson asked Simchus a question. The question he was asked was, "Kereshua Amar Rabbi Yeshua, nice like ksubasa venipedeha when." Where Yeshua says, just pay out the ksuba, you don't have to ransom her. Shadir al-Psoif Nishbis, is it a case where the nether preceded being kidnapped? Or Nishbis al-Psoif Adira, or is what is in a case where the being kidnapped came before she was kidnapped. Vama loy shamati. And we said, and he said, I don't know explicitly. But he said, it makes sense to say that's only in a case where the neder preceded being kidnapped. Because if the neder came after being kidnapped, you'll always have a way for a husband to avoid needing to ransom his wife. But says the Gemara, if the vart now is the nadri'i, that she made the neder, and now, and the entire question is, and he was the one that was mekayim the neder, and the entire question is, who is halachically considered the one that made the neder? If that's the case, so what? Why should there be a difference? Mali hidira ulbsoif nishbus, mali nishbus ulbsoif hidira. The question, if the neder preceded the kidnapping or not, is immaterial. El ala olam. So we have to go back and say that the case of hidira ulbsoif nishbus must be speaking about a case where he made the neder, as is the poshup shot in the brisa. El ala olam da adri ihu. He made the neder. And but still, says the Gemara, the machloikus of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua does not necessarily travel together with the machloikus of Abaye and Rava. Because Abaye mataras l'tamei, v'Rava mataras l'tamei. Abaye mataras l'tamei, among the kohen gadol, in a situation of among the kohen gadol, kula amal l'pliga d'chayav v'adosai. Everybody agrees that he has to redeem her. Because what does it say in the Ksuba? That I will redeem you and you send you home. And that's what should happen. Mamzeres from the sin of Yisroel, Mamzeres from the sin of the married of Yisroel, Kula Amaloi Pligi, Dein Chayiv Lev Doisai. Everybody will agree that there's no obligation to redeem her. Why? Because the Ksuba says, I will redeem you and take you back. And these are women that he's not allowed to take back. The question is, Madar Eshes Koyin Nami, if a Koyin made such a nether with his wife, Kula Amaloi Pligi, Dein Chayiv Lev Doisai, they would have to redeem her. Dan Amalekah and Gadol, because the exact situation of Amalekah and Gadol, where he will fulfill the conditions of the Ksuba. I will redeem you and send you home. Whether I send you home because you're Amalekah and Gadol, or whether I send you home because you're a Ashes Kohen that was kidnapped, we're following the words of the Ksuba. Ki pligi b'mad Ashes Yisrael. The machloikus is that by somebody made a neder with Ashes Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar sava ozo basa meikara. At the time when they got married, which was before he made a neder, that she's not allowed to have any benefit from him. And as before the time that such a neder was made, so the words of the Ksuba are very fulfillable. Since they're very fulfillable, he needs to fulfill his obligation and redeem her and let her redeem her. We look at the current situation. And at the current situation, he cannot redeem her and bring her home because they have to get divorced because of this nether, and therefore, he need not redeem her. That's the way Abai is going to explain all of these machlokesim. Rabbi Matamei, Amal Kain Golem Zes and Sin Yisroel, Kulam Pligida and Chayov Daisai. If it was a marriage that wasn't supposed to take place, there is no obligation to redeem her. Keep pleading, the machlokes b'mader, when he made the neder, bein eshes kohen bein eshes Yisroel, whether it's the situation of eshes kohen, whether eshes Yisroel, Rabbi Elazar sava basa mikara, and since at that time, the neder, the ksuba could have been fulfilled, we have to fulfill the ksuba. Rabbi Elazar sava suva azu b'soif, and at this time, he can't take her back. Since he can't take her back, he doesn't have to redeem her. In the same thing, Ben Eshes Kohen, since at this time he can't take her back because of the nether, that's why he doesn't have to free her. Nishbas, we learned, as we've been discussing, if she's kidnapped, Chayav Levdoisa, he has to redeem her. Tarabonin, Nishbas B'chayi Bala. If a woman was unfortunately kidnapped while her husband was still alive, Vakach Mespal, and then her husband passes away. So he's no longer here to redeem her. What is the halacha regarding his assets? Do they need to be used to redeem her or not? So says the Braisa, Hikav Abala, If the husband was aware of the situation before he passed away, then Yerushim Chayim L'Vdoisai, then the halacha is that the Yerushim have to use the Yerusha to redeem her. However, Lo Hikah B'Bala, if during his lifetime he wasn't aware of this, and Yerushim Chayim L'Vdoisai, the halacha is the Yerushim are not. And Rashi explains that if he became aware of it while he was still alive, so all of his assets became meshubed, became mortgaged to having to redeem her. Since they all became mortgaged to redeeming her, the halacha has to redeem her. If, however, he never was aware of it before he passed away, so his assets never became mortgaged, and since his assets never became mortgaged, he doesn't have to redeem her. Says the Gemara, Levi Sovel Meve of the Kamas Nisan. Levi wanted to follow this halacha that would taught in this brisa, and he wanted to make that since the husband was aware before he passed away that his wife was kidnapped, that they should have to use the assets to the assets that they inherited to ransom her. Amle Rav, Hachi Am Chavivi. So Rav said, this is what Chavivi. Chavivi was his uncle. His uncle was Rav Chia. Rav Chia was the brother of his Rav. And he was also the brother of his mother. And that's why he called him Chavivi. He said, Kach ama Chavivi, this is what Chavivi taught me. Les hilchsakom asnisen, the halacha doesn't follow this braisa. Elik yohad tanya, the halacha follows what we learned in this braisa. Nizbiz lacha misas bala, if a woman was kidnapped after her husband passed away, eina yisam chayil of doisoy, the yisamim are not obligated to free her, because the obligation of ransoming a kidnapped wife only is on a husband, not on his yarshim. V'lo yoid, afilu nishvus b'chayi bala, he taught, that she was kidnapped while the husband was still alive. V'akach me'spala, and then the husband dies. Eina yisoy m'chayim l'fdoisoy, the yisoy m'nei not redeemer. She'eina nikarbach, because in this case, the part that says in the ksuba, that I will redeem you and take you back, is not fulfillable. He's not alive anymore, and therefore the obligation doesn't exist. Tana Bonin, Nishbis, if a woman was kidnapped, and the ransom request is 10 times what's legitimate. 10 times, and when we speak about 10 times more than Mishavyeh, most Rishonim explain, what is she worth as a slave? Pam Rishonim Paida, the first time he has to redeem her, even at that exorbitant ransom. Mikam Ve'elach, afterwards, Reitzabadeh, if it happens again, he doesn't have to. He wants, he can, he doesn't want, he doesn't have to. Rishim Gamliel Oimer, Ein Paidim Mitzashvuyim, we never ransom kidnapped individuals. Yois Al Kadeh Demeim, more than they're worth, when they tick an oilam, because we don't want to get the ganovim and these kidnappers encouraged to kidnap people, because they're going to be able to get such exorbitant ransom. The Mishnah Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Heyom and Aleph says, "Ein paidim shishvuyin yes al kadei demayim." We never ransom people who are kidnapped more than the value, and they tikkun oilam. And the Gemara there tries to understand what does the Mishnah mean when it says they tikkun oilam. Does it mean that we're worried about the pressure that the tzibur will have to spend these kind of crazy, exorbitant amount of money? Or is it a concern that the kidnappers shouldn't get encouraged? And the nafka mina would be, if somebody has the financial means to ransom, even at an exorbitant price, if the concern is that we don't want people to have to spend money they don't have, this money person has it. But if the concern is that we're worried about the tzibur, here is no tzibur. So Tosfos asks that our Gemara just taught us that you have to ransom the wife even at 10 times her value. So we see that it's not that we're worried about encouraging the kidnappers, because otherwise, how could a Tanakhama allow the husband who to ransom the wife. So isn't that a proof that the concern is only we don't want to put pressure on the people who have to ransom? It has nothing to do with the ganavim. So Tosfos says it's not a raya. Because here, there's a rule, which we know throughout Shas, of ishtoi kegufoi. And since it's ishtoi kegufoi, that's why Chazal, the regular rules of when we ransom and how much we have to spend for ransom doesn't apply. But our Mishnah, our Gemara makes a point from Rav Shimon Gamliel that the only thing is we shouldn't spend more than they're worth. As we said, Rashi says how much they're worth as an Eved. The Miri says more wealthier people, we can understand a higher ransom. Poorer people, a lesser ransom. The Retvaz has a third approach I saw. The Retvaz approach is whatever is the ransom by non-Jews is the amount that's acceptable for ransom by Jews. But we can't allow a situation, says the Retvaz, that there should be higher ransom for Jews versus non-Jews. But we see from here that whatever the value is, even though the amount that's being spent on the ransom is more than the value of the ksuba. But ask the Gemara, Verimini, with the Brice that teaches us, Nishbis, if a wife, somebody's wife was kidnapped, for your matrimonial out of sorrow, b'ksubasa, they're asking for ransom 10 times more than the value of the ksuba. Parun shayna paideo, the first time he has to ransom her, mikan ve'elch rotz b'deyim. Afterwards, if he wants, he can, rotz ena paideo. If the value of the ransom is equal to the value of the ksuba paideya, emlav ena b'deyu. So we see, because we don't want that the ransom, which is not the main point of the ksuba, should be more than the whole ksuba. Rav Shimon Gamliel, so we see that we don't ransom her, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if the ransom is more than the ksuba. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel traiculously. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that number one, you never have to ransom her more than what is the accepted ransom amount of money. And number two, even if it is the accepted amount of money that should be taken for ransom, we don't pay it if it's more than the ksuba. And the Chachamim, on the other hand, have two chamers. Number one, that they pay ransom even more than the ransom is worth, than what is legitimate, and also if it's more than the ksuba. We learned in the Mishnah, Loksa, if somebody's wife unfortunately becomes ill, Chayv Refaisai, the husband has to pay for the doctor bills. Tanabana, Amana, Nizanis Menichsi Yisoyimim, as we learned and will learn, that one of the Tanai ksuba is that the husband's assets are used to pay to support the wife if she's not getting remarried. Tzricha refua, and then this amana needs to have medical bills. Harek mezainus, it's treated like mezainus, and the yisaimim have to pay for it. Rishimim gamliel oimer refua sheyesh lo kitzva. If it's not something that's constant, then nesrapis miksubasa. The Yisoyimim could take that, deduct that from the ksuba money. Shein l'ksitzva, but if there's no set amount to the amount that she's going to have to be, that the doctor bills line up, so it's a daily expense. So that's like mezainis. And mezainis are a daily expense. And this refuah is a daily expense. So if it's an operation that has, or a medical procedure that has a specific number attached to it, so their halacha is they can deduct it from the ksuba payment. If it's not that way, it cannot be deducted. Omer of Yochanan, also hakazos dam be'etz Yisrael, doing hakazos dam bloodletting in Etz Yisrael is treated k'refuah she'en le'kitzva. In Etz Yisrael, they did bloodletting on a very regular basis, and since they did it on a regular basis, it's like mezainis, which is done on a on a daily basis, just like eating is done on a daily basis. Other pshatim I saw is that since in Eretz Yisrael, they considered it so absolutely necessary to have bloodletting done, since in Eretz Yisrael, they considered having bloodletting so absolutely necessary, that's why they decided that it's like mezoinus. Says the Gemara, Krevi de Rabbi Yochanan, the relative of Rabbi Yochanan, Havle Itis Abba, had a situation where his father's wife, Havatzricha Refuah Kol Yoma, was not well and needed to be every day seen. Also came to Rabbi Yochanan. So they came to Rabbi Yochanan. It wasn't their mother, and they were upset that they had to use the Yerusha that they got from their father to support their father's wife. So they came to Rabbi Yochanan if he has any advice for them, how they could get out of this obligation. Amalhu, Ezel Kitzle Midel Roife, go make up with the doctor a set price, that whatever treatment she needs, this is a set price. And as we just learned, when there's a set price, then that could be deducted from the ksuba. Then, says Rabbi Yochanan, he was upset about himself. I treated myself, I acted like the Orche Deyonim, to give advice which is not really halachically acceptable. And I shouldn't have done so. So ask the Gemara, Mikara my sover, Psaif my sover, what was his thinking? Says the Gemara, Mikara sover, originally he thought, I have a relative who has a difficulty, and I should give him advice how to get out of his difficulty. Psaif sover, is that then he understood that I'm Adam Choshev, and as Rashi explains in that Peivav, people learn from an Adam Choshev. People follow the example of an Adam Choshev, and this is not what an Adam Choshev is supposed to do. So this Gemara really is based on what we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechta Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches. Yehuda ben Tabei Amai, Al Tas Atzmecha Ke'orcha Deyonim. A person shouldn't act like the Orcha Deyonim. And there's a Machlekes, who are these Orcha Deyonim? Rashi explains that the Orcha Deyonim are people who are appointed by individuals who have to go to the Torah to speak on their behalf. And since these are professional individuals, lawyers, who know how to embellish their claims, it's inappropriate. That's why it's inappropriate. A person has to say the claim as it is. And Rabbeinu Chananel says that the halacha is that one can appoint somebody to make his claim on his behalf, with the concept that we have all over of shlucha shel adam k'moisai. The Tumim says that in fact the meaning and that, but now the Mishnah and our Gemara says that that's not an appropriate behavior. Everybody should come to say what they have to say. But the Tumim says that the accepted minig has become that lawyers are accepted to make claims on behalf of their clients. And it's understood that both parties to every din Torah accept that. But, says the Chazon Ish, that even though that is the halacha, the two parties in the Din Torah should know that this is not what the halacha says. It depends that both parties were meichel. I'm saying to my opponent, you could appoint a lawyer. He's saying to me, I can appoint a lawyer. But we have to know that really is based on mechila. Without mechila, it doesn't work. There are other Rishonim that say that if the two parties to the Din Torah are showing up by themselves to the Din Torah, and they just bring along individuals who are there to help them, then we can be more lenient. So Rambam explains that what is the issue with the Orche Deyonim? So Rambam explains that the Orche Deyonim were individuals who, when the two parties are coming to the Din Torah, they have much experience with Dinei Torah. So they tell the two parties, well, if your opponent says this, this is what you should say. If the Dayan asks you this, this is what you say. And therefore explains the Rambam, when the Mishnah says, Atas atzmecha karche deyonim, is we could teaching people to lie. And that's, of course, inappropriate. And as the Bar Tanur explains, we're supposed to do whatever we can to seek the emes. And if we're going to have this type of situation, then we're going to end up with situations where we don't have the emes. And our goal in life is the emes. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm Adam Choshev, and I have to be careful. There's interesting machloikis ha-chroinim. What would be the halach if it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan, who was an Adam Choshev? Would he be allowed to have given his relative this advice, or maybe not? Kosov law. If the husband writes to the wife in the ksuba, benin dikrin dehavim l'chaminoi, any male children that we will have in a yorsin kesek subaseich, they will get the money that you brought in to the ksuba. Yes, al chalkim de mavuon, that more than all the other brothers, chayev, the husband is obligated to fulfill this condition, should tanai bezdin. And why would one have this? We're going to discuss about this. We're going to discuss this extensively in the Gemara. But there are two obvious reasons. If one wife, if a husband has more than one wife, and one wife brought in a bigger ksuba, more in the dunya than the other wife, and then the husband dies, and all the after his wives die, and all of his sons inherit him equally, we're going to have a situation. She doesn't want that the other wives' sons should get that. It's one pshat. The other pshat is, let's say one wife has less sons than the other wife. So if everything falls into the Yerusha pat, so everybody inherits equally. If it doesn't all fall into the Yerusha pat equally, they won't inherit. They won't inherit equally. And that's what we're trying to avoid. Another thing that's written to the Ksuba, Benan Nukfin, the Havel Chaminoi, we've spoke about this, that any daughters that will be born, Yehavin Yasra and Beisi, will remain in my home, or Mitzim and Nechse, and be supported from my estate, Ataluk and Legavroi, until they get married. The Aloch is, even if it wasn't explicitly written into the Ksuba, Chayiv, there's an obligation to follow it, because Lefishu Tunei Bezdin. Another condition is Ateye, as we discussed a few moments ago, Ateye Yasvi Beisi. You, if I die, will be allowed to remain in my home, or Metzim and Nechsi, and be supported from my estate. Kol Yimei Amuga Amnaseich, as long as you are Almana Beisi, you will remain in my home, Chayiv. Even if it's not written to the Ksuba, the estate is obligated, Shutunai Bezdin. And this is what the Anshe Yerushalayim would write in their Ksubas. Anshe Golol Koisrim Kanshe Yerushalayim. And the Anshe Golol would do the same as the Anshe Yerushalayim. Anshe Yehuda Koisrim, Anshe Yirtza Yerushalayim Litan L'Ksubasach. But they would add that you get supported from my state until the Yerushalayim want to pay out the Ksuba. L'fikach, according to this, if that's what's written to the Ksuba, Emratzu Yarshim, if the Yarshim want to pay out the Ksuba, Nosna Ksuba, they can pay out the Ksuba, or Paitru Nosai, and they will have no longer any obligation to her. Amrav Yachim Shimon Shim Yechai. So we started the Mishnah with speaking about the Ksubas Pnei Dichrin. So asking where Mnaima Heskinu Ksubas Pnei Dichrin, why did Chazal institute the Ksubas Pnei Dichrin? Says the Gemara, Kadesh Yikvitz Odom Yichta Levita Kebnoi. We want a father to write a generous Nadunya for his daughter. And by putting in the Ksubas Pnei Dichrin, as we'll see, the grandfather knows that ultimately it'll be his grandsons who will get that money. That will encourage him to write the Nadunya. Ask the Gemara, Omika Midi, but how do we understand the situation? The halacha of Yerusha is that sons inherit, not daughters. Now, by the father writing this ksuba and giving his daughter this generous nedunya, we're taking away the ultimate Yerusha that the sons would have had. V'asu Rabbanon Masaknid Tarasibarta, and the Rabbanon is setting up a situation that the daughter should get that money. Answers the Gemara, this situation where the daughters will, where a father should write a decent nedunya for his daughter in order that his daughter should be able to get married, that there should be a husband, is also deraisa. Hanami deraisahu. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Chunoshim, the Pasuk, Yirmiyah says to the people of his generation, Chunoshim, take wives, Velidu banam abanis, and have children, Vekhula b'neichem noshim, Vespinesechem tnu lunoshim, Bishlam abanim. So the Gemara explains, sons, we understand, B'dei kaimi, the husband looks for the wife. And that's why the husband should, that's why the Pasuk says, Chula b'neichem noshim. Ella, Vespinesechem tnu lunoshim, B'antzimi kaimi b'yadei, the woman doesn't look for the man looks for the woman. Ha kamashmalan, says the Gemara, what the Bryce is teaching us is the Nalbisha, the Nichsa, the Nisalamidi, the husband, the father should do all sorts of different things for his daughters, give her, buy nice clothing, and give her a nice Nadunya, Keheche de Kafsale, in order that should be many men interested in marrying her, Vasa Nasale, and they will marry her. So, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, man looks for the wife. So the husband, the father helps his children do so. But that's not the case by the daughter. But now the Gemara says by help doing it this way, it's acceptable. The Shita explains that it's easier for a man to get married. Because a man, because the Gemara often says regarding women, women are anxious to be married than rather sitting alone. So it's easy for a man to find a wife. But what should be done to help a girl to get married? That flaw has a different approach. That flaw's approach is, it's understandable that a father should help his son get married because he wants to help his son fulfill the mitzvah of pururavu. But a girl doesn't have the mitzvah puravu. And since the girl doesn't have the mitzvah puravu, the Gemara's question is, why does the father have the obligation? Teaches us the pasuk that even though she doesn't have the mitzvah puravu, it's still a mitzvah to get married. Vat kama, how much of his assets should a person give up for a nedunya to help his daughter get married? Says the Gemara, by Rav Damar Tavayu, Adl isenachse, until 10%. And as the Tabina Rabbeinu Yoyin explains, it doesn't mean that a father has to immediately offer 10%. But if the father can't find a chassan for his daughter and he has to keep on raising the nedunya, he should raise it up to 10%. But ask the Gemara, Va'ema, says the Gemara, the Av layers. Maybe only the assets that the sons of this wife, father, their grandfather, brought into the marriage is what they should get as Yerusha. But the part of the ksuba which comes from the husband to the wife, loy layers, they shouldn't get any special portion on that. Says the Gemara, imkei mim av namni v'loy kasav. We want to encourage the girl's father to give a decent ksuba. The way we encourage him to do so is by him knowing that the husband's portion will also go to his grandsons. Veima. So ask the Gemara, only perhaps in a case, Heche the Kos of Av, Lichtabal, if the father, the girl's father, brought in a decent Nadunya, that's when his portion also goes to her sons. However, if it's a marriage, Heche the Kos of Av, if the father didn't give a Nadunya with this calculation, Leilich the Baal, answers the Gemara, Leplug Rabbanan. Chazal made one rule under all situations. Ask the Gemara, Bas Ben Abanim Nami Teres. If that's the case, so we should make up that if the woman whose father gave a decent Nadunya only had daughters, So in that case, the ksubas minin dikrin doesn't apply. But again, if we're looking to encourage the girl's father, this kala's father, to give a decent amount, we should write that if there'll only be daughters from the marriage, she'll get the nadunya. Answers the Gemara, nachlashav rabbanan. Chazal fashioned it as a Yerusha. And Yerusha goes to sons, so this too goes on to the sons. Ask the Gemara, Bas Ben Abanas Tiris, what the halach ought to be that if there are only daughters, so the daughters will be the Yarshim, and maybe there should be Ksubis Din Dichrin in that case. Says the Gemara, like Plug Rabbanan. Chazal did not make that type of distinction. Ksubis Din Dichrin only applies to boys, not girls. Ask the Gemara, Tigli, Mimatatli. It should apply to Matatlin as well. Answers the Gemara, Ksuvik Shavir Rabbanan. It's treated like a ksuba. And a ksuba, as we've learned, is only from real estate, so too from a tatlin. However, says Taisus, as we've quoted earlier, there's a Taisus says that ksubas, that the Takanas Tagainim, that the ksuba is not only collected from real estate, but ksuba is collected even from a tatlin. Says Taisus, once that's the halacha, the ksubas benin dichrin is also collected from metaltlin. But there are goinim that apply that the din of ksubas benin dichrin doesn't apply bizman hazeh. Because bizman hazeh, the way people get married and the financial relations that are created when husband and wife get married with the ksuba, etc., doesn't apply in Bizman Hazeh, and that's why it doesn't apply. The Shulchan Aruch, however, in Evan Ezer Simen Kuf Yud Alef Simen Sif Yud Dal says, Ksubas min dichrin, nikvis min akarka v'loy min atalfan. But in the Ramah there says, Yesh Oimrim, the entire concept of ksubas ben dichrin doesn't apply bizman hazeh. It was made that a father should give his daughter nedunya and the ability to get married just like gives his sons. And he says, the Ramav Achshav, noigem lita lebas yosef yeser. Nowadays, parents spend more are marrying off their daughters than their sons. And therefore, the entire concept of ksubas ben dichrin, Ramah says, doesn't apply bizman hazeh. V'chein noyagim medinas ilu, and says the Ramah, that is the meaning where we come from. Ask the Gemara, if we just learned that the ksubas ben dichrin is fashioned after the halachas of ksuba, tit m'shabdi, we learned that all of one's assets are put up for the ksuba. So the halacha is that they should be put up for the ksubas ben dichrin also. Answers Gemara Yerson. They treated like a Yerusha. And a Yerusha, of course, any assets that the father sold off during his lifetime, you don't go back for Yerusha. Veima, says the Gemara, Afgav Deleka Moisadena. Now, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, Daf Tzadik Aleph. If the father did not leave over, besides the amount that he has to pay out to his wife, the husband did not leave over, besides the amount that he has to pay off to his wife, the ksubas, a dinner with which to fulfill Hilchas Yerusha, then the ksubas ben dichrin doesn't apply. But ask the Gemara, if we're learning that the ksubas ben dichrin is such an important concept, the halacha asked the Gemara should be, ve'ema afgav the lekem maisa dinner, the halacha ksubas ben dichrin ought to apply. Answers the Gemara, b'makom de kamiakra nech de raisa, but the kinner rabbanon. Chazal, of course, were first interested in seeing that Hilchas Yerusha should be fulfilled. So how are the Hilchas Yerusha fulfilled? They're fulfilled with the father first, of course, paying off the ksuba, the estate paying off the ksuba, because that's a prior obligation that exists here. And that obligation, of course, must be paid off first. And after that obligation of the ksuba is paid off, then we want to be able to fulfill the mitzvah Yerusha. How is the mitzvah of Yerusha fulfilled? The way the mitzvah of Yerusha is fulfilled is by making sure that this dinner to be distributed amongst the sons. And after all of those obligations are fulfilled, Then and only then do we do the Ksuvus Benindichrin.